is Kelly Lally, and I'm here in Horse Cave, Kentucky with Mr. Gilbert Bush. Today is August 7th, 1987. When were you born, Mr. Bush?
October the 1st, 1917.
And where did you grow up?
Clark County, near Horse Cave.
How many people were in your family?
Six children, mother and father.
Where did you fall? What number were you and all those kids?
First one.
You were the first one.
First one, yeah.
What were times like for your family during the Depression?
Well, it was pretty rough, but, you know, we had, our dad owned his own farm, but when the bank went closed, if I remember right, I believe that the only money he had was $13 in his pocket for the bank. All the rest of the money, so it was kind of rough there for 2 years. We didn't have any money, of course, things weren't too high, but it's still pretty rough. And, we had our own cows and, you know, horses and chickens and hogs and stuff like that, so we managed to live pretty good, you know. But a lot of people had it all for us.
How did you hear about the CCC?
Well, it was in the newspapers, you know. We take the newspaper, and of course, Mother, she being from Indiana, she, you know, read the papers daily. And so she read quite a bit about it, and I just decided to, I'd just try that. Some of the boys around here signed up, and they went out west, and I thought maybe I'd get to go out west, but I didn't. I wound up over the Battle Gate.
How did you go about signing up for it? Do you remember?
Well, I went to Mumfordville, but I don't remember what office I used up there. But anyway, they were signing them up from the county seat. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what office it was.
Did you know of anybody who wasn't accepted for the CCC for any reason?
No.
So, what year did you enter the CCC?
I believe it was 1939. I believe that was the year that I went in. And, I don't remember if that was the summer of it, best I remember. And I believe I came out in 41. Because I came out just before, about 6 or 8 months before I was drafted in the Army.
How old were you when you went in? Which camp were you in?
I believe they called it number 4 across the river, I believe it is. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember how you felt when you left home for the CCC?
Well, I was pretty lonesome for, you know, for a month or two. You know, I missed the family, mom and dad, but there was a good bunch of boys over there, and, you know, they done a lot of work and a lot of talking and a lot of, We played ball and quite a bit of activity going on, you know. So we didn't have much time, you know, to really get lonesome.
Did you have any type of official training before you went in to the CCC?
Farming. Mm-hmm. Good occupation.
Did they train you at all up at the cave before you started work, or did you just go to work?
Yeah. I just went over there and signed into detail, so you went on out at work. So, but you, they didn't compel you to stay on one detail. If you'd rather try another detail, well, you could, you know, you change from one thing to another. You know, you got something you like better, you know. And that's the reason why I worked in the telephone work. I liked it better.
Mm-hmm. Did you start off in the telephone work and stay with it, or did you
begin
with
something else? No, I was working in a rock quarry. Loading rock in the crusher. I didn't like that. That was too rough. So that's really why I transferred to the communications.
And what did you do when you worked in the communication project?
Well, about everything it would take to install a telephone exchange, we cut right of ways and dug holes and set poles and went to the woods and cut the poles and carried them out. And then we had to string wire, you know, and pull a slack and tie it in and test it out, hook it up, install telephone, clear trouble. And then we put in a lot of underground cable, you know, into the exchanges. And we put in one underground cable into the old entrance of Mammoth Cave, on back to the Snowball Dining Room. So the main work that I was doing was construction on the outside, you know, in putting up the outside cable and wires. Mm-hmm. So that pretty slow operation, you know, when you have to do everything. A lot of times, you know, we'd have to cut our right away through the woods and carry those poles in, and have to do a lot of blasting sometimes to get the holes dug and the poles set. And it takes, you know, quite a while to do all that.
How long did you work in the communications?
2 years over there.
How many men worked with you on this project? Do you remember?
I suppose the best I remember is probably 35-40 at times, but I think the main crews were somewhere around 15-20. You know, a lot of times they would pull in some extra help with me, you know, cutting right away, and we had to, you know, carry the logs off and the brush and all that stuff, and you had to. You couldn't burn it, so you had to cut up everything real short, you know, scattered down the woods where it rots. See, so that's, you wasn't allowed to start any fires or anything. So that's something else you had to do. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've been in here, well, people would pile it up and burn it or something. So you couldn't burn it over there, so it took a lot of time to work it out. I would say about 20-25, you know, regular crews.
And were these only from camp number four?
Number four was the only camp that was doing telephone work or communication work. We were doing it for the whole park. Mm-hmm. So we had a foreman they called Pap Fisher. I don't know what his first name was, but we called him Pap all the time. And he was in charge of communication. Mm-hmm. So I worked with him.
How far along do you think the communications project was when you had to leave? Did you leave in 41 or 2, did you say?
Yeah. Well, we'd got most of the lines up to the observation tower, you know, where they watch for fires. And we got the exchange installed and most of the phones in around the hotel there. Of course, the main service was furnished out of Park City, you know, for the toll service, you know, and the pay station, I believe they had at that time. So we was furnishing the service for the park, you know, in the park.
Mm-hmm. And did you do any work besides the Park City? Did you do any work in the outlying area, say Brownsville or?
No. Just in the park. Mm-hmm. But see, they had, I forget now how many lookout towers they had. It seemed to me like a 3, 4, 5. I don't know how many they got now, but they still got them, I suppose. And we had to get a line to each tower, so they probably watching for fires if you call in, see.
What do you think the hardest part of that job was?
Well, the hardest for us was getting the right-of-way cleaned off and the holes and poles set. I mean, that was the hard work. Work, but not real, you know, real hard work.
How much were you paid for your job?
I believe Dad Baum got $21, and I didn't get very much, $5 or $6 or something, very little. I don't remember, but it was very little. Or it might have been, we might have got 20. I don't know. The time you pay you. Got your cigarettes and had your hair cut and stuff like that. You didn't have much left, but other than that. Mm-hmm.
So besides the rock quarry and the communications, that's you had didn't work in any other projects?
Well, yeah, one spring, when they moved the ferry from the old crossing to the new crossing at the present crossing, well, those rock on those river banks, you know, if you, I don't know whether you've been down there or not, but anyway, you know the rock laid around there. The far side, we laid those ones, I think it was in the spring, anyway, we hauled them rock on the far side and laid those, and the color boy laid the ones on this side. And I don't remember how long we worked. It wasn't long, a couple of months or something like that. And it, just before they moved the ferry. Now, I was down there when they moved the ferry, when they moved and brought it down the river, but I don't remember, you know, I don't remember what time of year it was. It bound to have been in the summertime because the river's down low. So we worked on that a couple of months.
How much free time did you have, Mr. Bush?
Saturday and Sunday, I think, best I remember. We didn't work on Saturday and didn't work on Sunday.
What did you do with your free time?
Go to the show or something, go to town. You need to get up. Somebody to haul you out. Most of the time on Saturday, I think they sent a truck out to, you know, go to the show. On Saturday, I don't believe it. They may have sent one on Sunday, but I don't remember.
Did you ever participate in any of the sports, the organized sports?
No, they didn't have too many sports. I mean, they had a little few sports amongst themselves, but well, I mean, to compete, they didn't. I believe they had a baseball team or something, but I didn't play. They didn't have any basketball. If they did, I don't remember it.
Did you ever participate in any of the organized education programs?
No. I don't remember them having it. They could have. I guess they did have.
And you all were free at night, too, is that right?
Yeah, after 5 o'clock, I guess, after supper.
Any particular things that you did with your time then, or just kind of messed around, or?
Yeah. Go to PX, eat ice cream. Had the money. Drink pop, something. Well, a lot of times, you know, they'd have a checker game or something like that, you know. It seems to me like they had a pool hall over there, a recreation hall. Well, I know they did. They had a pool table and I think a card table, you know, something like that.
So, is there any way that you could describe a typical day in the CCC for you, or is it different every day, or, you know, when you got up and had meals and
well,
such?
Well, we get up, of course, they have roll call, and get ready for breakfast, and have breakfast, and then I don't remember whether you had an hour, maybe an hour or something to straighten up your bed and then the whistle blow and you'd call out your work detail and go to work. And you'd come in and eat lunch. Sometimes they had brought a lunch out to us, but most of them would come in and eat. You'd go back and work till, I think it was about 4 o'clock. And come in, by the time you got washed, cleaned up for supper, it was about 5, 6 o'clock. It wasn't too bad. They were pretty nice outfit. I mean, you know, of course you had to work, but it wasn't too bad. Most young people back those days didn't mind physical labor like they do today. If you'd ask somebody to do what we done today, they wouldn't do it. But, you know, most all the young people, you know, they didn't know any better. They raised. That's the way it was raised because you didn't have anything modern like.
Did the CCC boys ever play pranks on each other?
Not too much. No, they didn't like too much horse playing. No, they frowned on that because it caused problems. You know, they didn't want that. And they weren't too bad.
What did you think about the military running this? How did it go? Did it run smoothly, do you feel like?
With the Army?
Was it harsh discipline, or?
Well, of course, I was in during the war and was overseas over 2 years, and I went through two major battles, and Europe, and I was in the Rhineland, and also I went through the Battle of the Bulge over there. Mm-hmm. And part of it wasn't too bad, and some of it was pretty darn rough. And a lot of times, you know, things happen so fast that you really didn't know really what was going on. I mean, you know, I mean, to really pinpoint certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But I know when the Germans overran the line over there in the Battle of Bulge, why, for a day and night, or a night and day, I guess it was, we was mixed up with as many German soldiers as was our soldiers. They were just kind of moving for,
mm-hmm.
they were trying to penetrate as far down in our territory as they could, and we was trying to get back with them, so when they finally got to act together, well, we could kind of stop them, see, so
mm-hmm.
Of course, everybody had a different view of it, but it was pretty darn rough over there for quite some time. And then, of course, after they cut their supply line and they couldn't get any more fuel or food, well, then their armies, they just had to surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come into certain locations, those companies under full field and full battle gear, and they'd come in and you just have them to... They had all their guns, all their ammunition, everything. But when they had surrendered, why, they set up certain areas for them to come in and report into the enemy. So they'd come in, you'd have them throw their rifles over here and their helmets over there. And they had motorcycles, well, you'd put them over here and then trucks and park over here. And then you'd load the soldiers and send them in stockade somewhere else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it might have been different other places, but the place I was at, I mean, that's the way you'd handle them. They would come in a whole battalion, I mean, just right out of combat, I mean, with everything, because they had been ordered to surrender,
mm-hmm.
and that's what they done. And they had a location to come to, so they came in and got shed of their stuff and went on to stockade. And so then it was quite a problem to move that many people.
Mm-hmm.
They used trucks and trains. We moved a lot of prisoners on trains.
Mm-hmm.
Load a boxcar, throw in so many K-rations, shut the door and lock it.
Mm-hmm.
And they take them home and unload them some up points.
Did you train in the three C's
to
prepare you for the Army?
No, nothing but being broke away from home, I guess, and learned how to cooperate with people, you know. It didn't... didn't teach you anything about fighting, or there wasn't anything said about it.
Did you go in signal corps?
Yeah, well, my training in the CCs, when they asked me what I'd been doing, I told them, so they sent me to the signal corps in the Army. So
mm-hmm.
I worked in the signal corps there, but I called those training in the CCs.
So, in comparison, aside from the battles, away from the battles, what was life in a CCC camp similar to life in an Army camp, or?
Well, pretty much. As far as personnel, I'd say yes. As far as details, yes. About the same procedure on, you know, eating and stuff like that. But of course, we didn't have any guns or equipment or explosives or anything to take care of CCC, which an Army did have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You had a lot of junk you had to take care of, you know.
Did you see Army officers while you was in the three C's? Did you see the Army officers in the camps, or were they weren't involved? Were you
not as I know. Mm-hmm. I never did see any of them around, because of course they could have come, but I wouldn't have seen them anyway. But I didn't see any.
Was there much interaction among the different camps in the CCC, say number four and number two, or?
I don't think so. No. I never heard of any, because see, when I was in CC, the colored people, or the black people, they had to stay in their own camp. When I was in the Army, they done likewise. The black people wasn't integrated into our... We had companies of black people.
Mm-hmm. How did the whites feel about the presence of blacks in the camp nearby? Was there any racial tension at all?
No, they got along pretty lot of that trouble. They might have had a fight or two somewhere in town, but we didn't know that. Mm-hmm. You don't hear too much about racial stuff when you're around camps like that, especially in the Army, because if the going gets tough, you're gonna need all the buddies you can get, so you can't afford to. There might be some hot-headed once in a while would pop off, but not often. Because mm-hmm. most of the fellows, after you're out in the world, about you learn enough to keep your mouth shut about a lot of stuff. Because mm-hmm. it doesn't have to.
How did the local residents feel about the CCC being in the area?
I never heard any complaint. I never heard any complaint about it. Because mm-hmm. they was over there in the park, so it didn't bother me.
Was there much interaction at all?
No, not too much. Well, except the local people come over and visit your boys, their mm-hmm. friends and things. That was the only time you seen those.
Did many of the guys date local girls?
No, not too many, because it was far back there. You could look it up to have a car you could have, but you'd walk it quite a ways to walk out, so mm-hmm. it wouldn't bother too much of girls.
Did you go home very much to visit?
Yeah, quite a bit. I don't know, once or twice a month, maybe.
Well, how successful do you feel like the CCC was in relieving the effects of the Depression?
Well, it helped a lot of young boys, that didn't have any jobs, and in this part of the country, there wasn't any jobs. So it gave you a job and a place to stay and eat, mm-hmm. And really and truly, I think it helped a lot due to the war was falling, that you got the boys broke away from home where they didn't mind when they were drafted in the Army, like if they just pulled them out of mm-hmm. away from the people, see. So that kind of like you are at school, you're broke away from home a little now. Mm-hmm. Used to the first year you were down there, you wouldn't broke away too well.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, or how do you think the CCC helped the local area economically? Do you think it made much of a difference?
I don't think so, no. I don't think it had any difference in any of course, but the boy's father and mother or their guardian, they got a certain amount of money sent to them each month. See? Mm-hmm. So that helped the family some,
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think the greatest contribution of the CCC was in general? Either to the area or to the nation or to your family or whatever?
Well, there was a lot of trades learned. A lot of young men learned trades in the CC that they wouldn't learn, because a lot of them learned to be carpenters, bricklayers, I don't know about stonemasons, I guess, communication people. Mm-hmm. A lot of them learned to drive trucks and bulldozers and to build roads. And they got a lot of training mm-hmm. out of the CC. They wouldn't have got otherwise.
Did it make a difference in your life, in your training?
Yeah. I got a better job out of the Army. And then when I came out of the Army, I hired in the telephone company. He had worked 40-odd years for them, so bound to help me. Mm-hmm.
Did you do some similar things for the telephone company that you did while you were in the CCC?
Yeah. As a whole, as far as the nation, I think they trained a lot of young men that didn't have a chance to learn anything. Mm-hmm. And then I think as they were drafted into the Army, I think they made better soldiers because they're more qualified to do a lot of things. They didn't have to train them, they were already trained.
Did you notice any problems in the CCC?
No, not enough to complain about. Mm-hmm.
So, what did you do when you left?
Well, I knew I was going to be drafted to the Army, so I wanted to get out and mess around a little while, you know, before I went, so I just left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't anything you just leave anytime you wanted to,
mm-hmm.
so I just left.
And then to the Army and to the telephone company?
And then the Army, you know, they drafted me. So you didn't leave there.
No. Do you still keep in touch with some people that you met?
Well,
the
I see one, you know, every once in a while, I'll talk to them about, not a lot, because a lot of the boys are out of state boys.
Do you go back up to the park ever?
Well, I go to Mount McKay once in a while, but I haven't been back over there where their camp was since I left, so I suppose it just growed up, I guess it did, didn't it?
Yes.
I guess they tore the building down and set out trees and that was it, wasn't it?
Yes. Do you remember a store over in that area called the Davis Store, Dawson Davis's store?
Yeah, I remember a store, yeah. We stopped there sometimes to get smoking tobacco or something like that, you know. But,
Before we turn on the tape, we were talking a little bit about the recreation hall, was it the Whoopee House?
Yeah.
What kind of things did you do there?
I didn't do any, I just go watch them sometimes. Uh-huh. They'd take a load of us, you know, at night they had a special program or a show or something.
Uh-huh.
Or it would only seat so many people, so they didn't take them all. They would take maybe a truckload or two tonight and then tomorrow night, you know, and from other camps, so they had shows and things every night, but they couldn't accommodate everyone, so they didn't give everybody a break, and they know, so you have to wait till your turn.
What kind of shows did you see there? Do you remember?
Oh, they'd have musicals, and they would have a regular stage acting theater, live, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have a lot of people, you know, singing, playing music instruments. They had a variety of different things, you know, there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty nice. Of course, the CC boys put it on themselves.
Did they?
There were some from our camp that played over there, but I don't remember who they were or what they were doing. I think we had some musicians or something that played over there some.
Mm-hmm.
But at 300 or 400 boys, you can get pretty well any kind of talent you want.
Yeah.
But I like to watch the black boys perform on the stage. I'd rather watch black people than white people.
Yeah, I hear they're quite performers.
Well, to me, they're the best. I know they may not be the best, but I just enjoy watching them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're more, to me, they're more funny and comical than a white person is.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been out here this year?
No, I haven't. I've heard a lot about it, though. Not yet.
We went out there the other day and saw that flea in your ear. A story written by a Frenchman, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's right good. They've got some good performers out here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they're playing out there now. They change every week or month.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell me about your experience in the CCC?
Well, I guess that's about it. I mean, that's about all I can think of. A lot of good boys over there. A lot of good friends.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me.
Yeah.